Amen. Lord is good. We're going to look at John chapter 4, a little bit of John chapter 8. It's going to be more, it's kind of a teachy, preachy thing today. There's a lot to deal with, and there's some things I want to talk about today by the grace of God. We'll start in John chapter number 4. But it's just an amazing book. And I hope and pray that God shows you what He shows me when I'm reading the Bible about how amazing it is. And all these fools that say, well, man just wrote that book. I tell you what, if they'd get saved and get in there for a while, they'd realize that God used man as the instrument to write that book. And it's just amazing. God is amazing. In John chapter number 4, we'll begin in verse 1. Let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we sure love You. And Lord, we thank You for another opportunity to meet together in Your house, Lord. Lord, this is Your church. And Lord, help us to get out of Your way and do what You've called us to do. You can have Your will and way with each and every person here today, Lord. Change us for Your honor and Your glory. Lord, You know the needs of each heart. And Lord, I ask that You would just bless us with Your presence. And again, Lord, that we would leave here closer to You. We thank You and ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter number 4, beginning in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. And His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. And upon this came His disciples, and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now, I want to realize a couple things and see a couple things as we look at this passage. And the first thing is, in verse number 6, Jacob's well was there. And he comes to Jacob's well, she meets him at the well, and she asks him a question that sheds a lot of light on where Israel is today. She asked him in verse 12, Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank there of himself and his children and his cattle? You see, what Israel's problem was, and what a lot of folks' problem today, especially in the United States of America, is they don't realize who the blessings come from. They were caught up into worshiping men. They were caught up into worshiping the way they wanted to worship, who they wanted to worship. They worshiped their fathers. They said, Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? God gave them the well through Jacob. But they were not giving God the glory. And that's why Israel is where they are today. Now, I am not 1 second into replacement theology. We have not replaced Israel. Romans chapter number 11 is crystal clear that God will turn back to Israel after the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And I believe we are rapidly approaching the fullness of the Gentiles. But to see them more focused on the blessing than the blesser is where we are in 2021, the United States of America. Even people that do not believe or say they do not believe, claim to be agnostic or claim to be atheistic or whatever they might claim to be, worship the blessings that God has blessed this nation with. Amen. But Israel's main problem was they didn't glorify God as He should be glorified. And we come down through here, and she is trying to understand this water that Jesus Christ is talking about. And I just want to touch on a few things, and then we'll jump over to chapter number 8, but I want to see a few things here, and the first thing I want to see is the Son of God. God Himself came and set up that well. She was talking to God Himself and didn't realize who He was. We see the Son of God. He comes down through and He asks her to go get her husband. And she says, I have no husband. And he starts going through the list of husbands, and the fact that the one she has now is not her husband. We see the sin of man. And then he still deals with her, and she believes on him. We see the salvation of sinners. But I don't want to overlook something very important in the Word of God here, and that's verse 13 and 14. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want to see the security of the believer. This Bible, this New Testament, these passages are just filled with eternal security. It's not just Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. From John 3:16, He's given people everlasting life. That lasts forever. And I'm for living good and living holy and living clean, but you're not going to lose your salvation. If you're saved, you have been taken out of sin. You've been placed in Jesus Christ, and He is at the right hand of the Father. You're in Him. He's in you. You're as good as there already. But we see eternal security all through the New Testament. Everlasting life. Eternal life. You can't lose your spot in Christ, but you can sure lose some things by messing your life up. Your testimony, your health, finances, family, You can lose all kinds of things. You can lose rewards. But salvation has nothing to do with your works. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ and His finished work. The Son of God, the sin of man, the salvation of sinners, the security of the believer. Look at John chapter 8. In John chapter number 8, verse number 1, it says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again to the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where art those thine accusers? Hath no man accused thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now I'm going to reread that verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a passage. But you know, it's hit me before, but it hit me like a ton of bricks about the inspiration of this book, about God's words to us. When I was musing, amen, not being amused, but musing on the Word of God the other day, driving down the road, thinking about chapter 4 and thinking about chapter 8. And in chapter 4, we see Jesus Christ dealing with the Samaritan woman, and she's asking Him for water. In chapter number 8, He's dealing with the Jews. They bring Him a Jewish woman under the law, and they're trying to trick Him. And Jesus Christ is merciful to both women. You know, the Bible talks about, Paul talks about that mystery, which is the Jew and Gentile in one in Christ. And this is a picture of that, a type of that, a foreshadowing of what was to come in the church age when Paul was given the gospel of grace. This is Jesus Christ and a picture of Him offering forgiveness to the Jew and to the Gentile. I'm telling you, man's not smart enough to write this book. There's just so much in here, and it's what you might say are the little things. But those little things point us to a big God that not only loved you enough to save you, but He loved you enough to give you a directing book, a guide. And what a blessing to have a Bible. I want to look at about seven things in John chapter number 8, beginning in verse 1 and 2. It says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. The first thing I want to see are the faithful followers. You know what they did? They come to Jesus Christ, and they sat at the feet of Jesus. They sat down to get something from Him. I mean, they were looking something from God. The faithful followers were looking to be more like Jesus Christ. In 2021, we have a lot of folks that profess to be saved, but we have very few people in 2021 that I believe actually want to be more like Jesus Christ, that actually want to know who Jesus Christ actually is. Other than Savior, they want to know Him as friend. They want to fellowship and walk with and talk with and have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe most people, born-again people, have become more comfortable just imagining who Jesus Christ might be instead of finding out who He is. But the faithful followers came to Jesus Christ to get something from Him. That being said, why do we go to church? Fellowship dinners? Oh, those are fun. Obviously, we've had a few too many of those, amen, some of us. And the fellowship with the saints, what a glorious time. What a blessing to be able to fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. To sing together. To praise the Lord. To worship God together. As a church family, what a blessing. But how many of us actually pray that when we get to church, Jesus Christ is going to specifically talk to us? Boy, that preacher and that message, that fell flat. Well, maybe it didn't fall flat for everybody. Amen. Maybe it's not the preacher's fault. It could be. Preachers are men. But maybe the Holy Spirit of God had something for you and you weren't looking for it. The faithful followers were wanting something from Jesus Christ. They wanted to know more about Him. They wanted to know how to be more like Him. And the only way you're going to be more like Him is by being faithful to the Word of God and submitted to the words of God to become more like the Son of God. The faithful followers then... In verse 4, well, actually 3 and 4, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. They say unto Him, Master. We see the fake believers. They were calling Him Master, but they didn't want Him to be their master. They wanted to master Him. That's what this world wants. That's the reason they reject the Word of God. They reject true Christianity. They'll accept Muhammad or Buddha or what have you. You can make up any old god in the world, just jumps right on that bandwagon. They have no trouble with it. The problem they have is with Jesus Christ and the words of God. And the reason is they want to master their God instead of have a God that masters them. How about us, though? Are we serious about Jesus Christ becoming our true leader, our true teacher, master, teacher? You see, they weren't trying to get Him to teach them something. They wanted to teach Him something. They come to tell Him about, they come to the words of God, the Word of God, to tell Him about the law when He's the author of the law.
Right. Amen.
See, they didn't realize some things about who they were speaking to. First of all, He is God.
Amen.
He's not a was God. He is God.
Amen.
He was God incarnate sitting there when they talked to Him. And He didn't come to abolish the law. He came and fulfilled the law to free folks from the law. I'm not saying we shouldn't keep the law. We shouldn't keep the commandments of God. I'm saying for eternal life, we are freed from the law. Amen. But the fake believers in 5 and 6... they say, now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. We see the foes of truth. They came to trip Him up. You ever have people try to trip you up? You ever tell somebody about the Lord, tell them they need to get saved? Give them a Bible verse, and the first thing they start is, well, you know, man wrote that book. And then it don't take very long for most of them take you down the road of evolution. What a religion that is, amen? The road of evolution. I'm going to tell you something. You have to be a fool to not believe in God. And then you have to double that to believe in evolution. I mean, I've heard preachers say, and I've heard creation scientists talk about the eyeball and how complex it is and the odds of that accidentally forming from goo 6 billion years ago, and I understand that's true, but I'm going to tell you something. The body is much more complex than just an eyeball.
Right,
I mean the way chemistry works.
Yep.
I mean the odds of chemistry working the way it does and accidentally happening.
Yeah.
I mean if you took a, and it was one in a 1-to-1 and everybody here wrote all the zeros they could write, you could fill this room up with just small zeros and never touch the odds of that happening. Do you realize the hormones in your body, they're not just like a lock and key. They're like several locks and keys in one hormone, in one vitamin. The way one mineral affects the outcome, the way one enzyme works. For folks to think that this was an accidental occurrence, that is beyond foolish. But that's what they do. They want to try to trip you up. They want to try to discount God. They want to try to discount Jesus Christ and what He's done for them and what He's done for you. They don't want truth. They're foes of truth. Because if they submit to the truth, they have to admit to the truth. And the truth is, we're all wicked and should be burning in hell, but for Jesus Christ, we would all be there. And man wants to be his own God. The faithful followers, the fake believers, the foes of truth. Look at 7 through 9. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You know what we have there? The fixer of pride. You know what fixes pride? The words of God and the Word of God. They're standing there challenging God Himself in their mind. They're standing there challenging the Word of God, and He gives him the words of God, and they all leave.
Yep.
You know why it's painful for most people to open their Bible? Because it kicks them in the pride. Amen. This Bible will eviscerate your fake God and leave him off the side of the road struggling to breathe and point you to the true God. And people don't like that. You say, boy, the lost world's a mess. I'm going to tell you what, most born-again believers don't like reading their Bible. You know why? Because if you read it, you either have to get in or get out. Amen. Because the Word of God will take care of your pride. You know when somebody's reading their Bible. You know how? Their pride starts to dwindle away. I must decrease. You must increase. The magnification of Jesus Christ begins. And the crucifixion of self begins with the words of God. The fixer of pride is the Word of God. Verse number 10, I'm thankful for a Bible. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" We see the friend of sinners. Those folks that brought her to him, they didn't care about her. They could have cared less about her. All they wanted to do is be right. Amen. Jesus Christ, a friend of sinners. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand what a friend of sinners is. A friend of sinners is someone that tells a sinner the truth, but yet loves them. They didn't care about her, the men that brought her there, but Jesus Christ did. I say that to say this. The wickedness that's going on in this world today is wrong. But God wants them to get saved. I think a lot of times we have the same heart of the Pharisees. We try to pick and choose who gets to go to heaven and who gets to go to hell. You know, the sin that's too bad that God doesn't want to help is any sin but yours. Amen. Amen. But the truth is, He died for this world.
Amen.
And tell me, name the sin that the blood of Jesus Christ is not powerful enough to forgive,
right.
To cleanse from. Name that sin.
Amen.
I'll tell you one that would be on the top of the list if there was a list. You say, well, the sodomites. Well, it'd be up there. But the sin of pride would be right next to it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So it's all right to witness to the proud people, but not to the pride people. Amen. The truth is, we want to see people get saved. We want to see people get right. We want to see people taken out of a wicked lifestyle, become a new creature, and be another voice to glorify our Savior. I'm not condoning any of that. God doesn't condone any of that mess. Amen. It's wrong. It's wicked. I'm just saying, be careful the heart we have towards sinners. Because the sin that makes you sick to your stomach, and it should be your own too. Because it turns God's stomach, no matter what sin it is. Amen. But Jesus Christ, a friend of sinners. Look at verse 11. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Neither do I condemn thee. We see the forgiveness of sin. He said, I'm forgiving you. Isn't that a blessing? That God forgives sin? Now look, we're tempted probably, if we're not careful, to look at these two different stories and say, well, here's the woman at the well with all these husbands, and here's this woman in adultery and how wicked she is. Well, what about the man that was in adultery?
Amen. Right.
You know why he's mentioning the women? First of all, the men were picking on the woman. They didn't bring the man. Because
right.
He was just as guilty.
Amen.
Maybe even more so.
Amen.
Taking advantage of the weaker vessel.
Yep.
Now, I might be wrong on that, but I'm telling you what, the man was guilty.
Yep,
but you know what this is? It's a picture of Israel and their wickedness toward God, and it's a type of the church's wickedness toward God. It's not talking about male and female, spiritually speaking. It's talking about the bride of Christ and the way they treat him. You say, well, what woman was that? Living a horrible, wicked life. How many blood-bought, born-again believers are? Say, well, she was this, she was that, she was the other. How many Christians do you think are whoring around on God today? How many Christians do you think that they're sobering up this morning instead of being in church? Amen. How many Christians have you preached to at the jail, man, that were saved when they were young? They've got a mama and a grandma and an aunt praying for them, and they just can't quit living like the devil, they say. And the truth is, they don't want to. It looks like whoring around on God. There's a lot of types in this Bible, and it's a type of the church and the way it treats Jesus Christ and what Israel did to God the Father and Jesus Christ. But we see the forgiveness of sin. Now we get to the message. Verse number 11 again. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." We see the freeing from the past. He tells her to go sin no more. You know, all she had was those men to tell her how wicked she was. She would have just kept going right back to the same mess. Jesus Christ says, "I forgive you. Now go forward. Go forward." Forgiveness. True forgiveness doesn't pull around a wagon full of defeat. Amen. It doesn't. True forgiveness is not bogged down by the baggage of regret. Amen. True forgiveness is powered forward by the mercy, by the grace, and by the love of God. True forgiveness. When He saved your soul, He truly forgave you. When you go to John 1:9, you confess your sins, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you get right with God, He truly forgives you. You know what the problem is? The devil doesn't want you to forgive yourself. I'm not saying to condone. I'm saying to forgive, because he wants to trap you right where you're at and keep you looking backward instead of looking forward. True forgiveness doesn't shackle you to the sin of the past. true forgiveness frees you to walk by faith in the present. You can't walk by faith today if you're still stuck in yesterday. I think a lot of folks don't go forward for two different reasons. One, they never really, from their heart, want forgiveness. They like their sin. I'd probably go as far as say they love their sin. Probably love their sin more than their Savior. And two, they really mean it, but they're not reading their Bible and they're not doing anything for Christ, and the devil's just kicking their teeth and telling them, hey, you didn't mean that. God didn't forgive you. But God does forgive. True forgiveness. It's the only kind of forgiveness that God knows. He doesn't forgive like we forgive. And the only way you can forgive like God forgives is if you're walking with Jesus Christ and realize His forgiveness. Some folks just need to forgive themselves. Amen. I could go... If I had the desire to, and I wanted to give the devil his day here, I could go through a list. I could probably think long and hard on a bunch of things from the past that would just depress me and keep me out of the will of God today. But you know what? I'm clean. I'm on my way to heaven. My sins have been forgiven. Not because of me. Not because I did some good things. But because Jesus Christ is perfect. And He shed the only blood that could have washed away my sins, God's blood. And I know that if I make it on purpose, don't give yourself a break with these accidents, because you don't make accidents once you're saved. You know what's right and what's wrong. Amen. But I make it on purpose, and I allow the conviction that God sends to me to do what He wants it to do, and I get right. I'm clean. Amen. There's probably nobody in this room that could look back over about 2 weeks, leave Christ out of the equation, and think you deserve to be even in church or reading the Bible, let alone working for the Lord or serving the Lord or glorifying the Lord. But if you've got it under the blood of Christ, you're clean. You're clean. Jesus Christ forgave that woman that everybody else wanted to stone to death. Amen? I don't know about you, but there are probably folks in my past that would have wished they had the rocks at one time or another, before salvation, maybe a couple times afterwards. My wife's not amening yet, so. But God's forgiven me. He's forgiven you. Look, if there's anything I'd like to tell you today and what I believe the Lord wants you to get out of this message, if there's something between you and the Lord, get it under the blood of Christ and go on. If the devil's been kicking your teeth in about something you know you got right a long time ago, pray and read your Bible and do what God's called you to do, and that stuff will disappear. But don't stop serving the Lord. Amen? Don't stop serving the Lord. Faithful followers. I want us to all be in that crowd. Fake believers that show up every now and again. Foes of truth, they're all over the world. The fixer of pride. Read your Bible. The friend of sinners. Walk with Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sin. Accept His forgiveness. Apply it to your own mind and your own heart from yourself. And be free from the past to go forward. I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do in 2021. He has a reason we're here. He'd have called us out of here. And I believe that He's going to do the same thing He did in 2020. I believe He's going to bring visitors in. I believe He's going to open up opportunities. I believe we're going to see people. We're going to get to lead people to the Lord. I believe we'll be doing baptisms. I got to tell you a real quick story. I was sitting at Speedway here the other day at the gas pump. I get a phone call. I'm writing some notes down, trying to remember some stuff. And the guy, I'm talking to him, and I'm thinking, you know, they're trying to sell me a new car warranty or something, you know, because I didn't recognize the number. You know how it goes. And he said, I'm sorry, did I catch you at a bad time? And I said, no, what's going on? What can I help you with? And he said, well, he said, look, I was driving by your church, and I noticed the signs out front talking about heaven and hell. He said, I've been wondering about that lately. Look, I'm sitting at the gas station. I'm worried about getting my truck gassed up so I can go home. God's good. And he says, well, I've just really been worried about that. And he said, I've been wanting to be baptized. So for about 5, 6, 7 minutes, we talked about Scripture and what baptism meant, what salvation really is, the thief on the cross, and what it says in Peter about an answer to a good conscience toward God. And then he said, well, I'm saved then. He said, I got saved a long time ago then. I'm not. I said, look, if you're saved, you need to get baptized. That's nothing to do with heaven, but it's an act of obedience. You should be baptized. He said, well, I'm from Kentucky. This just gets better, doesn't it? I'm from Kentucky, and I'm working up here, and I drive through your town. And he said, I've seen your signs, so I thought, well, I'll drive around back and see if there's anybody there. And I seen the number on your church van, and I'm like, praise the Lord. The Lord's using that. Van's been sitting there for a while, but the Lord knew what it was there for.
Amen.
So he says, look, he said, let me ask you this. He said, when I'm coming back through, what would I have to do? What must I do to be baptized? I said, well, give me 2 days' notice. We'll fill the baptismal up, and we'll get the heat going, and Lord willing, we'll. He said, well, I'll call you when I'm headed that direction again. You ever think you got anything to do with it? Guess again.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
I mean, here we got a bunch of people. You know, Baptists are nuts, right? Well, nuts screwed on the right bolt, praise the Lord. We got a bunch of people just asking God to do something. You know what he does? He just keeps doing stuff.
Amen.
Oh, COVID, what are we going to do? Answer your phone, hand out tracts, hold up a sign, brag on Jesus Christ, the same thing you're supposed to be doing before COVID. The reason most people freaked out about COVID is they didn't have anything going before. Now they're like, now how do I start? How do I start serving the Lord now? I can't do anything. Just do the same thing you've always done. If you've done nothing, change that. But look at the opportunities the Lord's blessed us with. That was just the start of 2021. I'm excited to see what he has for us, for his church. Amen. But you know what you need to do? You need to forgive yourself. Get things under the blood of Christ, if there's anything between you and him. And stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God's good.